if our child wants to eat chocolate, we'll tell don't eat, but we won't give a pile of chocolates. So similarly, why does Krishna, he gives us so many, in this world there are so many objects to enjoy. So why does Krishna give that? And then on top of our mind, it also is so wildly attached to enjoyment. And then how can we control ourselves in such a situation? Why are we put in such a vulnerable situation first of all? Krishna is reciprocal. See, the relationship of parent and child is appropriate in some ways to define our relationship with Krishna. But in some ways, it does not describe it fully. Because generally when we talk about a parent and child, we always have a mind in, say, maybe a 3-4 year old child and maybe a 30-40 year old parent. But we are not like small children. We have free will. We are grown up. So the dynamic between, say, a 30-year-old child and a 60-year-old father will be very different than between a 30-year-old child and a 30-year-old father and 3-year-old child. So I would say that relationship is every metaphor that we use for describing our relationship with Krishna or for anything spiritual. It has certain context. It has certain limitations. So having said that, when we look at the word, as I said, Krishna is reciprocal. Reciprocal means that he has given us free will. See, even in a normal parental relationship, how much can a child, a parent can have much more control over a child when a child is 3 or 5 or 7 or 10. And even by the time when the child comes to 15 or 16, the amount of control that parents can have becomes much lesser. It's like often when children come to their teenage years, parents start thinking, what happened to my sweet little boy? Where did he disappear? And who is this sullen, angry, uncommunicative person who has come in his place? It's a difficult phase to go through. And then, say, parents may restrict the pocket money of a child when their child is 3 years old. But parents can't restrict a 25-year-old son. How much can they restrict? Not much. So, we have a relationship with Krishna, but we also have free will. The parents can guide a 24-year-old child also, but the 25-year-old son, not child, 25-year-old son, or daughter for that matter, they will take their own decisions. So we have our free will, and the very existence of free will requires an arena for the exercise of free will. If I say that I give you free will, but you can play as much as you want. But you have to play within this 5x5 square feet cubicle. What can you play that, you know? Especially if you want to play a physical sport. So the very existence of free will requires the existence of an arena where free will can be executed. And executed means it can also be misused. It can be used, it can be misused. Now this world is not necessarily an arena only for the misuse of free will. We see that actions have consequences. And recently, this is a big question. Somebody asked me a big topic, and I will not go into that. Somebody asked a question, why do bad things happen to good people? So I asked, why should bad things not happen to good people? what do I mean? It's not that I'm saying that bad things should happen to good people, but why do we ask this question? Bad things should not happen to good people. Because we expect and we perceive also a correlation between action and result. We do something, I put my hand in fire, my hand gets burned. I overeat, my stomach gets upset. I eat too much cold food on a cold night, my throat gets sore. So we do see actions and consequences. Now in some cases, we may not see the consequence coming immediately. But broadly, we do see correlation between cause and effect. So, in this world, Krishna has given us, as he's reciprocal, he gives us the freedom to see what we want to see. If we want to see God's hand and God's existence and God's benevolence, we can see the cause-effect, we can see the correlation, we can see the design, and we can turn towards God. If we want to turn away from him, there is facility even for that. Now, as far as the sense objects being present in the world which allure us, that is simply because we have the desire to enjoy, so the facility is provided. Now, how much facility who gets, that depends on their past karma. Some people by their past karma are very wealthy, very attractive, and then they can attract many more sense objects. Some people may not be able to attract, that's the result of past karma. Now, within that, how we use our free will is always up to us. So why are there so many bad options, as you said, and so many bad choices, and so few good choices? That's how always it is in any multiple choice exam. Isn't it? Four wrong answers, one right answer. So similarly, in this world, all the variety is, it reflects the kind of desire that people have to enjoy. The various species also reflect the soul's desires to enjoy in different ways. So basically, because most people have material desires, people who have material desires are far, far more than the people who have spiritual desires. In this world, being a facility for people to execute their free will, exercise their free will, whichever way they want, if more people want to misuse their free will, then there is facility correspondingly. So it's a reflection of our desires. It's not a trap necessarily. See, when a teacher gives a multiple choice exam, the teacher's purpose, even giving him the wrong options, is not to fail the student. The teacher's purpose is to test the student. So the test, if the student has studied, he'll tick the right mark, then I will move on. I'll get marks. So like that, in the world, the wrong options that are there, they are meant to test us. They're not meant to mislead us. And as far as our own mind is concerned, the nature of the mind is also a result of how we have thought and desired in the past. So some people say they born in cultured families, brought up in good, brought up by good parents, then their minds are not that contaminated. Sometimes after they become free, get some freedom, go to college, then they may contaminate their minds. But it's up to us. The mind, the way it functions, is largely a result of the way we have made it function. So if I go on Google and I search something, and then if I have read a lot about sports, then no matter what I search, some sports news are popping up. Because that's what I have searched in the past. So Google is not, it's also reciprocal in a sense. The way we have searched, the search results get customized accordingly. So our mind is like that. You know, whatever we have done, it tends to auto-repeat that. So, as far as Krishna is concerned, he makes this world as an arena for experimentation if he wanted, and an arena for rectification if he wanted. So both ways are there. In the life of everyone, at some time or the other, something happens which makes them feel, I want to explore something higher. There must be something higher. I want to explore it. So at that time, it's up to their free will. Whether they take that prompting or they don't take that prompting. The super soul is in the hearts of everyone. And the super soul is offering that prompting. Sometimes we achieve something and then we feel, hey, there's nothing great about it. Must be something better in my life. Sometimes we get a big reversal in our life. So what is the point of it? What is really important? What counts? That can prompt us higher. But either way, the important thing is the super soul does guide us. So the world has its purpose. And if we look at anything divorced from its purpose, any design can be faulted. I may have a very good phone, but if I decide to type my whole book on my next book on the phone, this keyboard is so small, typing is so difficult. What a stupid phone. So the phone is not stupid. It is meant for some other purpose. It can be used for typing also, but it's not for typing a book. So any design can be faulted if we divorce it from its purpose. So similarly, if we understand what is the purpose of this world, it has twin purposes, experimentation and rectification. So for those who want to experiment, it has many options that it is offering. But for those who want to rectify, that option is also there. And so those who want to turn towards God, it's difficult. And it's especially difficult in Kali Yuga. But then that also is reciprocal. So those souls who in the previous Yugas did not choose to turn towards Krishna, those souls who wanted more and more gross sensuality, those are the souls who are born in Kali Yuga. So our birth in this situation is also a result of our own past desires only. But even in such a situation, Krishna is there. And Krishna manifests Kali Kali Nama Rupa Krishna Avatar. He comes as His holy name. He comes as Lord Chaitanya. And He gives us the opportunity to turn towards Him. So if we take that opportunity, we will be elevated. So rather than faulting the presence of sense objects or faulting the presence of the wild mind, what we can focus on is, beyond the presence of all this is the presence of Krishna in our heart and the presence of opportunities to turn towards Krishna. So every time we turn away from a temptation and turn towards Krishna, it may seem like a struggle and it may seem something like a pointless struggle. Today I give up, but tomorrow again it will come. How long can I go on like this? But actually, every time we choose Krishna, we are becoming stronger. And our capacity to choose the higher and reject the lower is becoming stronger. And then it will become easier and easier as we become stronger and stronger. So, because of the misuse of the free will in the past, things are a little difficult right now. But they will become easier. Krishna says that which tastes like poison in the beginning will taste like nectar in the end. Yathadagre vishameva pariname amrutobhavam tat sukham satvikam proktam asmabuddhi prasadajam. Krishna says this is the nature of elevated joys, that we have to go through a phase of poison initially. If you can tolerate and penetrate through that phase of poison, then the nectar awaiting us makes it all worth it. And even that initial phase of poison which we have to tolerate, that becomes much easier to tolerate if we have association of devotees. So if we just penetrate through that, then there's immense, in fact unlimited nectar waiting for us. Okay? Okay.